better have an example ready for this.
Oh, I do. At a dinner party I went to recently, my friend Jasmine told a story of exactly that kind of nemesis. Someone she hated and loved and couldn't keep out of her life.
Since when are you going to dinner parties?
My name is Jasmine. How do you do? Glad we've all had enough wine for this. Well, I met my nemesis 4 years ago. I was 18 years old. I think I met him at one of the ridiculously awful freshman events that they plan for Stanford students. And I remember in the sea of drunk 18 and 19-year-olds clumsily falling over each other and discovering their new identities, I noticed him apart from the rest. Not because he wasn't also clumsy, but because he was tall and handsome and assuming somehow, where he would just look at you straight into the eyes and not give you a chance to see anyone else around, just like absolutely demand your attention. So we began watching each other at various events, and eventually some threshold broke and he sort of, well, like, he took me. And I just remember feeling completely out of control of the situation. Like, this person is very powerful, and, you know, if he wants this, like, if he wants to kiss me, like, he'll kiss me. You know, if he wants to, like, run his finger through my hair and, like, take me in his arms strongly, like, I don't know if I'll be able to stop that. And so, on some bus full of drunken youngsters, I remember him, like, whispering in my ear, like, you know, I really want to be with you. Like, all of the facades, you know, like, they're not me, you know, I want something serious. And I was so young back then, I didn't know him at all. And I just remember being totally flabbergasted. Who is this person? The next day he disappeared because his own words had scared him too badly. And I never heard from him again. However, I would continue to run into him on a very regular basis. And every single time I'd run into him, it was like I knew 5 minutes beforehand, always. I always had a premonition I would see him. And even though I thought he was rude, I thought he was callous, he was total asshole, you know, I didn't respect him at all. In fact, his behavior I found offensive, to tell you the truth. I found his beliefs to be offensive and immature, and I tried to avoid him at any cost. But even so, I still had premonitions every time I would run into him, which was creepy and strange, and I would tell him even, like, oh, I just knew I was going to see you, and then I did. And of course, that freaked him out, and so we had this sort of mutual resentment for 4 years, I think. But then ever so often, you know, we'd break that glass wall again. Like, I'd run into him at a party, drunk, and all of a sudden, like, every single mask of his would fall away. And he would be himself again, or the one that I met. And at those moments, I realized that no matter what, like, there was some love that I had for this person I greatly disliked. And it was never going to go anywhere. He could just invoke it just at the drop of a hat. And so he moved away. He started working on the Bush campaign, of all things. And my disrespect for him and his beliefs solidified even more at that point. But when he came back, I ran into him again, and I sort of mockingly asked him, like, oh, how was that? Like, what do you read over there? And he's like, well, I read soldiers' letters. And I told him, oh, tell me what the soldiers say. And again, he started crying on my shoulder. And I couldn't even believe that I could have so much space and, like, distance from this person, such an aversion to him. And then even so, like, he would, you know, break down like that. So anyways, avoided him again for another year or so. And then it, you know, come senior year, 4 years later, and we've been doing this dance. He's been haunting me through my entire experience of Stanford. He's been an unwelcome part of the periphery for me. And I see him at a co-op party, and it just totally shocks me. I'm like, you don't belong here. I've never seen you here. What are you doing? But even so, I dropped everything I was doing, and I went up to him. And it was like absolutely nothing else mattered. Like, he sort of like immediately took me into his arms, just like he's like, you look so beautiful tonight. And I mean, it was unlike we had spent 4 years just avoiding each other and disliking each other. And even so, like, the whole party fell away, and we went to Safeway, and we stole one of the little carts, the handicap carts, and we got in the cart and we like drove around. And somehow I felt like I had to complete the cycle. And so I took him back to my apartment to show him how I actually lived. And I remember his mind was totally blown. He's like, wow, it's so beautiful here. Like, how do you live outside of the, you know, this like frat scene bubble that I'm so used to? And I'm like, it's easy. Like, it's easy. You know? And so... I don't know if I can say this on public radio. Well, anyways, it was a very passionate and very sweet, and I totally unexpected. And after that, the same thing. You know, he left his jacket and disappeared. And I wrote him a letter telling him how disrespectful he was as a human being, and like how inconsiderate he was. And how sorry I felt for him, that he couldn't actually be honest with himself about who he was. And to this day, you know, I still receive letters from him, and they make my skin crawl, because no matter what, I just don't feel like I have control over how close he feels to me. And it's amazing. Sometimes we're not in charge of the people who are ghosts in our lives. They come in unannounced, and they see something that they want that makes them feel safer in you, and they somehow plant themselves in your subconscious. And I hope that one day I will be free of him, but I have a fear that I will not.
Jasmine is a senior at Stanford, and thanks to Jasmine for letting us use that story.